Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And we're also happy for the second night in a row to welcome the new listeners who may be listening in at WTPRN, We the People Radio Network. They are now a proud affiliate of this show, which is emanating from the studios of BBS Radio. And I am Don Nikoloff. I am happy to have an extended listening audience on this October the 3rd on the West Coast, already now October the 4th on the East Coast, as well as in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to the show. For many people, for many of the new listeners out there, especially at We the People Network, you are going to be hearing a variety of shows, a variety of topics. We have some guests that we bring on regularly. In fact, our Friday night guest is our resident science advisor. He is a scientist and an inventor, an author, a lecturer, a teacher. And before we bring him on to discuss current events going on today and some other issues that we may handle in the next couple of hours, I want to encourage folks to actually call into the show. The BBS crowd usually will call in if there is a show dealing with spiritual issues, psychics and healers and that sort of thing. Although in the Patriot Networks, people call in and talk about the everyday issues. They're very, very concerned. What we're doing here, and this is not an experiment, this is actually the evolution of internet radio, where we are solution-oriented. We're talking about the problems, yes, but we're not about fear-mongering, especially on this show. We're about bringing the truth to you. We're not asking you to believe anything, but we do suggest that if you hear something that stretches your reality or the matrix beyond your comfort level, that you do go out and do some research, as you do with the Patriot issues. We can tie these things together. It's all about life. It's all about our reality and who we really are. On the Patriot Networks, people do talk about religion, and they do acknowledge the spiritual side. It's not necessarily within the box that's been created for us, but it can be much more expansive. You can be a Christian and follow Jesus Christ and still consider alien technologies, alien life forms. Those people prefer that we call them visitors because they really are visitors. And yet we have a reality on our planet that is more like they are infiltrators. They have infiltrated our government, our systems, our society, and every aspect of our infrastructure as a species, as human beings. And so you're going to hear a lot of topics. I happen to be interested in many of those topics and rather well-versed in many of them. I have a website, for those of you who don't know. It's called directlightproductions.com, and I publish articles. I publish a lot of photographs, videos, links to some very good research sites. You can spend months and months on my website and not take in everything that's there. I write for the Idaho Observer. I have been, those of you who know my writing know that I have been doing a genealogical series on several presidents, going back with the so-called Bush clan, and more recently John McCain and Barack Obama. And this research is being recognized now around the world, basically because it's not what you hear through the mainstream media, but it's revealing many, many facts that people were not aware of. And there's a recurring theme here that these people are not who they say they are. and that they have infiltrated our government, pretending that they are citizens, like we are, of the United States of America. And I'm using the lowercase spelling of United States, because the United States, as it's been created for us with the capital letters, is a corporation that serves foreign interests. And that's going to bring us to our first topic tonight, and that's this chaotic scenario that's been played out in the House of Representatives, then in the Senate, and again today in the House of Representatives, where they have ramrodded an $850 billion bill. And a bill is just that. When you get a bill from your electric company, you have to pay it. When you get a phone bill, you have to pay it. When you get a credit card bill, you have to pay it. Or an auto payment bill. The bills that they give us in Congress are just that, bills that we have to pay. And there has been no serious discussion about what this is. We have been lied to. We have been hoodwinked. And actually, it's come out that even Congress has been threatened that we would be in martial law if they didn't sign this bill. Don't be surprised if we have martial law anyway, even though they have gotten their hands now on another $850 billion of our money that we don't even have. We're going to talk about many of the lies, many of the anomalies of this whole event with tonight's guest. And he is a regular now on Evident Footprints show since I began in June of 2007. And I welcome him again on Friday nights. He's our regular guest, and he's actually a co-host. Especially if the NSA interferes with my connection, he'll take over the show. He's done it before, and I can trust he'll do it again. Welcome with me to the show, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Don. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I could be very upset, very angry with what's going on today. What we've all witnessed is the beginning of the end of our country as we know it. I mean, they've, for all intents and purposes, pushed the lever and flushed us down the toilet. The proverbial toilet, anyway.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that. And the interesting thing is, you know, you and I both talked about this entire scenario as recently as last week, and here we are now, after the fact. And already the stuff that we talked about is beginning to happen. And so it won't be long before people realize that we were giving them a straight line. It's just a shame that Americans have to learn everything the hard way.
Yes, and we'll go over that. Now, I know you've been keeping tabs on this whole thing as much as anyone can. We know that what we've gotten from the mainstream media has just been spin and lies, either through the media representatives themselves, you know, these anchors and the various talk show hosts and field reporters. It's the same spin, very highly orchestrated. They were set to just saturate the airwaves with this propaganda from the get-go. Selling us a bill of goods that really is blaming someone else for just a small fraction of the corruption that's been going on. Pointing a finger in a particular direction without really blaming any one specific individual, but blaming this on something as benign as a mortgage agreement, a securities agreement. Or a collection of real estate properties that have been foreclosed. How can people be angry at a piece of property, right? So they've depersonalized the issue, yet it's people that have been involved in very, very serious money laundering. This, as you well know, we talked about Barack Obama and the genealogy I did, and I went right into a rattle's nest of bogus real estate money laundering, where they're using the internet as a money laundering database. Is that not a coincidence, or is that a coincidence that this issue came out right at the same time my article came out? Any comment?
Well, there are a lot of so-called coincidences lately, and in some instances, it's because of the fact that we basically foresaw the moves that some of these people were going to make, and we tried our best to inform people of it. And in other instances, I think it's probably just serendipitous. But the general trend is the important thing to track. And here's something that I was discussing with somebody just the other day, which is so true. Everybody who lives in this country, Don, knows darn well that if you want to get anything from the government, it's like pulling teeth. You know, it doesn't matter if you have a hospital bill that you can't pay, if you're about to lose your home, if you want money from the Small Business Administration to start a business. No matter what it is, it takes months and months and months, and you're turned down more than you're ever given assistance. So how is it that all of a sudden, out of a clear blue sky, our government is so concerned about our welfare to the tune of $850 billion. You know, it's a remarkable turnaround. And I think that anybody with half a brain will realize that the reason for all of the excitement is because it's not for our welfare, it's for their welfare.
Yes, you're so correct.
It's going to be a hard pill to swallow, but it's true.
Yes, this is outright lying. Every single person that went out and spoke about the so-called benefits that were to be experienced or anticipated through this document that began with 136 pages. The first draft that was turned down, the $700 billion draft, was published pretty much the same day. And so you know these guys didn't study a 136-page document. I actually read through it and couldn't believe the things that I was seeing. Basically, it was, look, we need this money. This is going to bail out Wall Street. That was the cover story. This is going to save the mortgage market. How? How is it saving the mortgage market, in my mind, is giving these people back their homes and assisting them in staying in them, okay? Now, saving the mortgage market in the sense they mean is coming up with profits where they played derivatives and hedge funds with this money. And every other credit program that they have out there or every other loan program, student loans, where they inflate the actual costs of a college education, put that money in a holding company called AIG, which is an insurance company, a holding company, that invests these monies in derivatives, in hedge funds, in junk bonds, and in whatever scheme they can deliver, and then put the money in offshore tax-free accounts. And because it's not legitimate the way they're doing it, and they're hypothecating these funds, they can't show source of funds. Now, we should be in compliance with the Basel II agreement, which you and I talked about at great length last week. We are supposed to be on a gold standard, and we are not on a gold standard. In fact, we've got TV commercials where they're saying, you know, you want cash for your gold, mail your gold jewelry into us. You'll get cash the same day. And they've got this girl, with this New York accent saying, I took my wedding ring from my first marriage and cashed it in, and I got money the very next day. This is the mindset of these people to brainwash people into giving up their gold. This has all been about a gold heist and hiding the gold heist, and they're actually running the TV commercials now, trying to convince people to give up their gold. We are supposed to be a gold-backed currency. The rest of the world has complied with Basel II. They have withheld trillions of dollars. They have stolen trillions of dollars. And right now, Citibank is sitting on $14 trillion. Illegally, they're holding this money that originally was intended to be in the U.S. Treasury. And Paulson comes up with another scheme now to bill us That's really what they're doing. They're billing us, starting out with $850 billion, and it's open-ended. There's no end to it now. Now they're going to be continue hypothecating these funds and dealing with North Vietnam and North Korea and India and Pakistan and whatever corrupt government that they can find, whatever dictatorship where they can bribe somebody a few billion dollars. And within a matter of weeks, they're going to have raised trillions of dollars. Is that going to go into our treasury? Absolutely not. Is that going to pay off this money? Absolutely not. Their intention is to steal it. They have been doing this since the early 1980s with Executive Order 12333, which came from Ronald Reagan. They've destabilized the Russian ruble through Lyawanta, but I submit that it was most likely a gold heist. This wasn't about the Russian ruble. This was them getting their hands on the gold, stealing gold deposits, which are really the collateral for all the treasury certificates that are being issued out of countries like Indonesia, for example, and Cambodia, and Japan, and the Philippines. These people have hijacked all this money, all this loot that goes way back to World War II. We're talking about the Nazi gold. The Vatican is involved in this, and I really don't care what people say, because there are a lot of Catholic people out there that when you mention the Vatican, they think you're attacking the religion. No, this is organized crime, pure and simple. And that fact, that point needs to be repeated ad nauseum until people finally wake up and get it, just like they do a TV commercial. It's got to be repeated over and over. Now, Bernanke mentioned $14 trillion two times in front of Congress during these hearings, in front of the banking committees. I think it was a Freudian slip, or he was implying that that's how much money they need to write this mortgage ship. They claim that they lost $12.4 trillion, and we're giving them more money? They've already proven they're incompetent. They can't handle that money. They have no integrity. These guys have golden parachutes of a quarter of $1 billion, anywhere from $20 million to $240 billion or $240 million. And those three guys that were fired from Fannie Mae happened to be the campaign economic advisors for Barack Obama. Tell me there's not a problem with that. Tell me that this is just Peter robbing Paul to pay whomever, Miss Piggy. It's insanity what's going on. And what they're telling us about, we're going to have health care and we're going to have we're going to repair the credit system. Well, that turned out to be a lie 5 minutes after they passed this bill. This bill got passed in a couple of minutes. I listened to the substitute speaker of the House slam her gavel on the podium for about a half an hour. These guys are so insolent and impolite and an insult to every American that they sit there like cackling chickens or stand there and listen to this woman pound her gavel. Would the members please stop speaking, go sit down, or take your conversations outside? And they just stand there and talk and talk and talk and talk. They knew damn well what they were going to do. They knew they were going to commit treason long before they ever took this vote. And so they're bribed or they're threatened with martial law, and this is the reason why now they pass a 410-page document, adding another $150 billion to the outraged public's first presentation of a $700 billion bill. This is insanity, what's going on, and people can't see it. I pity those that are so asleep that this just goes right over their head. I really do, because those are the people with their money in the stock market thinking that they're going to make a killing now because of this. Mark my words, folks, they're going to get your money one way or another. If they don't take it from the stocks, they're going to take it out of your bank account. Mark my words, this is just the beginning of the end. This is just we've given them permission to be corrupt now. In terms of the international community, what they're showing the world is, look, our people are behind this. We have nothing to do with this, and they damn well know it. Jim, any comment? Have we lost Jim Murray? Well, Seth, I'm not hearing Jim. Can you try to bring him back up in the interim? Maybe Jim got so bored with my comment, he dropped off. Well, while we're waiting to get Jim back on the line, I want to share with the listening audience a couple of things. First of all, we do take calls in on the show, and we want to welcome anyone from either the BBS network or WTPRN to call in. We have toll-free numbers in the USA and Canada. The number is area code 888-228-4494. Worldwide, the area code is 877-489-6350. And our direct line in the United States, area code 530-776-5154. And, Seth, you'll let me know when Jim's back on the line, I'm sure. While we're waiting for our guest to come back, next week, I've got a great lineup of guests. These are going to be some people that that even the Patriot Network hasn't heard. First one is Tom James, founder of Hemp USA, and we're going to be talking about some new products that he has come out with. We've had Tom sponsoring our show now for about 5 months, and he's a sponsor of the network, as he is many of the other networks out there. On Tuesday the 7th, I've got Dr. B. Dr. B is a music producer who has also forayed into the area of herbs. And he's an herbalist, and he is also a psychological kinesiologist. And he specializes in some things such as parasites. And we talk about all kinds of parasites, even the political variety, and he'll be the first to admit that. Very educational, very interesting show. Also, Carl Pearson will be on next Wednesday. He's a civil rights and antitrust attorney. He's got some very innovative ideas. He's been on the show a few times. And we're going to show you how you can empower your local area, starting with the town that you live in, and ways to create income for people who have been forced out of work with the mass closure of many of the large corporations around the country. On Thursday, I've got Ken Adachi. Ken's going to be on every Thursday this month. He's got a great website, educate-yourself.org. He gets people from all over the world to that site and talks about virtually every issue under the sun and then some. And then, of course, every Friday, Jim Murray will be with us. Do we have Jim back now? Jim, are you with us? Seth, for whatever reason, I'm not hearing Jim if he's back. Can you make sure his audio is coming through the board? With that, I basically finished my rant. So, Jim, if you can hear me, when you get back online, just let me know you're there, and I'll let you comment. So, in light of what we've been talking about here, and we have, I have been presenting something to the listening audience that no one has had the courage or even the knowledge to talk about on the mainstream media, and it's the true nature of what has just been done. I guess we're going to be trying to reestablish some other type of connection with our guest tonight, so please bear with me. The media has been bribed. If you're hearing nothing but propaganda, step back a second and just think. Why don't they print the truth in the newspapers? Why do they spin what we hear? And this is not just about this bailout. It also has to do with the election. Let's consider what's going on with some of the candidates who have reappeared. Ron Paul, for example, who was very popular on the internet and very popular in the Patriot community because he has been telling the truth about the Federal Reserve and the IRS and the reality of what's really going on behind the scenes. And then we've got this issue of Ron Paul basically being railroaded and shortchanged in the exposure he got from the mainstream media. They parroted the same thing. John McCain, once it became clear John McCain was going to be the guy, and that had nothing to do with the public's popularity. You had, if you remember, Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, I forget who some of the people were, even Fred Thompson jumped into the race, Mike Huckabee. These were the people who were running for the presidency, and it was just to create a diversion because on a worldwide scale, what was going on behind the scenes, this money issue was really the international football. The corruption that was going on was very, very prevalent and was pushing us to the brink of a world war. While that was going on, they went nonstop with Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and Anna Nicole Smith every night after night. And it was all the blondes. And so this this kept going on and never stopped until all of a sudden they decided, okay, we can focus now on a couple of candidates. Let's pare it down. We had voting machine corruption from the first caucuses, Iowa and New Hampshire. And we had this diversion of a so-called attack on Hillary Clinton's campaign headquarters. And she was seen in two places at one time. She was seen in Washington, D.C., and she was seen in Europe. I mean, the things that were going on were very, very strange and made no sense at all. And the media wasn't really reporting these things. These were the things that we were hearing on the alternative media. Now, were these disinformation campaigns or was this the truth? Well, the mainstream was not reporting anything about the voting corruption. But I saw, as many of the listeners saw, videos online of people voting as many as 80 times. They submitted 80 tickets at a Texas caucus. I actually had that video posted on my website, and it was on YouTube and Google as well. And it actually was seen hundreds of thousands of times. Nothing was done about this. Who cares? It's like, you know, we're corrupt. These Diebold voting machines are corrupt. They can be programmed to change the vote in a split second. I actually had an email, which is still posted on my website, under a news item, where a guy in Texas actually saw the vote change after he made it. Every time he made a vote, that vote was changed by that machine. So we've seen corruption, but the corruption was sort of ignored. And all of a sudden now, Ron Paul, who couldn't get 5 minutes of airplay, was basically revived and brought back as a prophet. Now they're saying, oh, you were right about all this, but he wasn't good enough to pay attention to when as a valid candidate for the presidency. And we were just hoodwinked, and the Republican National Committee meetings that were occurring in Nevada and in Washington and Idaho were run just like fascist concentration camps. Basically, anyone who was a Ron Paul supporter was ignored. They shut down the delegation, all the proceedings. They just determined that Ron Paul was going to be excluded. And then Ron Paul received death threats, both to his family members and to himself. And so he withdrew from the campaign, much like Ross Perot some years ago. You folks remember Ross Perot when he ran for the presidency. Now, we have Jim back again. Jim, welcome back.
Yeah, well, some really strange happenings. I mean, all of a sudden I can't dial out any numbers on my normal phone. And in addition to that, when I did get through to your studio by them phoning me, then everything was fine as long as I was speaking with Seth, the minute they tried to transfer over to you, either I lost the voice channel, but I could still hear you, or else the call itself dropped off.
Yeah.
So somebody doesn't want us chatting.
That's okay. That's what happens. Well, we know that we're bringing the truth out. That's how badly they don't want the truth to get out. So they're going to have to deal with it. Simple. Okay. Well, did you get to hear what I was saying about this in general about what's going on with the bailout and its association to all this Wall Street corruption, really?
Well, I didn't hear most of it, but it doesn't matter. You don't have to rehash it on my account because I already know what's going on. If you think there's something you want me to hear, by all means, you can restate it, and I'll gladly react.
Okay. Jim, first of all, we've got a caller on the line. Would you like to take a call?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Caller, would you state your name and where you're calling from, please? Welcome to Evident Footprints.
This is Dawn in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay, now, Seth, I hear a female's voice about 50 miles away. Can you bring the audio up on that call? Okay, I'm seeing on my screen we have Dawn on the line, but Dawn, we can't hear you. So.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Welcome to the show. What's
Thank
on
you.
Your mind?
I love your show. I called in because I wanted to just let you know, in case you haven't seen Rolling Stone for this week, and it's got McCain on the cover driving his bomber into the, I guess, literally into the ground, but it's Make Believe Maverick. And I know Jan Winter hates McCain because he's had Obama on the cover at least two times, favorably so, but he goes into all the dirt about McCain and how he was promoted because of his father and all of the just cowardliness of McCain. I mean, it's a really exceptional article. I've only read part of it because I bought it and brought it home to finish it, but it's an exceptional article.
Okay, well, I thank you for pointing that out. Now, have you read my article on McCain, my genealogical research?
No, but I think I know what you're getting at. And it's the same thing as with the Scherf situation, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it's a little bit different, but
kind of a discontinuous genealogical line and implant. Wasn't it something about him being, when he was brought into Panama as a baby, there was something strange about the circumstances of his birth or something like that?
Well, yeah. He's not on the 1936 National Archive book of certificates of live birth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born, according to the story, he was born at the Naval Hospital at Coco Solo Naval Base in the Panama Canal Zone. Now, he would be in that register, or at least in the hospital register, but there's a problem with that. And the problem is that on December 17th of 1941, 5 years and some months after he was born. The date they publish is August 29th of 1936. That's when they say he was born at the Naval Hospital. 5 years and some months later, Franklin Delano Roosevelt issued Executive Order 8981 instructing the engineers to build a boundary for a naval hospital. That was actually surveyed in May of 1941. And on December 17th, he told them to set the boundary, acquire the property, whether they had to lease it or buy it outright, do it so they could build a hospital there. There was no hospital. So he couldn't have been born there.
So who is John McCain? And you mentioned Hillary showing up a couple of places, and there have been some allegations that there are clones of Hillary. I mean,
Absolutely. What
are you saying about who McCain really is? I mean, you know, don't mince words.
Okay, well, I'm not going to mince words. Most of these people, well, we can cut right to the chase and say that they're reptilians, okay?
That's what I thought.
We can say this on this show. We've got photographic proof of Barack Obama being one. We've got photographic proof of George H.W. Scherf, or Bush, as they like to call themselves, being one. More than one we've got. There are videos of the shape-shifting, and these aren't special effects that people are doing. They're taking this right off of cable TV, satellite TV, VCRs. The average person doesn't have Hollywood type of editing software. And even if you did, you could see the anomalies in that when you freeze frames and what have you. When we can take this information out of a still photograph, it speaks volumes about who these people are. You can see McCain shape-shifting on TV if you really watch carefully.
Well, what's wrong with his face? And, I mean, I know he's got the cancer problem, but there have been some issues about the plasticity of his face right now, and I wonder if that's part of what you're talking about.
Absolutely. That's what shape-shifting's all about. And you'll see various representations of it. On my show, I don't know if you've been listening long, I've had Ken Adachi on. Ken and I have done, research of various types of entity manifestations in all kinds of situations, around flying saucers, around the 9/11 photos, both in New York as well as at the Pentagon. You can see entities in the smoke. These are not imaginary figures.
I've seen that, and I love Adachi's website. By the way, if you go to the Coast to Coast website, there is posted a picture of a guy had his camera at the 911 site, and it was just a regular photo, and there's this strange beam of light that's just like going between buildings right near the 911 site. You might want to check that out because it's just very unusual.
Yes. Yes, I've seen those things. There's actually a flying saucer in one of the pictures. And there are faces of recognizable people in history in those clouds. And I know there's some listeners listening to this right now thinking, God, what have these guys been drinking or smoking?
But Adachi does the sylphs. He's into the sylphs, right? And could it have something to do with the sylphs?
These aren't sylphs, no. These are negative entities. Sylphs are the opposite end of the spectrum.
Okay, got it.
Okay? You have, in the spiritual realm, you know, you have angels and you have demons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And because someone sees a demon doesn't mean that that's an angel in disguise. Actually, demons like to disguise themselves as angels.
Right.
Just to fool us. So, we're mixing a lot of different topics on top of each other right here. But
I'm just going to listen now. But thank you for letting me have my say. And do read Rolling Stone.
Okay. Did you have a comment or a question for Jim Murray before you hang up?
No. I wanted to share that, and I'll just listen.
Okay,
thank you. When you have the guy talk about parasites, please have him talk about Morgellons a little bit.
Okay. All right. That's a topic I talk about, too, with a couple of my guests. So thanks for calling in, and call in again, Dawn.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Well, Jim, that was interesting, huh?
Yeah, that was the first real interesting call we've had in about, I don't know how many months.
Well, we've had a few on the show, believe it or not. People are enamored, I think, with the topics, and I, as I mentioned on some other shows, a lot of people they're awestruck with some of the things that we're talking about. You know, we're not mincing words. I like how Dawn put it. She wants us to cut right to the chase. I had this very discussion with a very close friend today that actually does quite a bit of research in all these areas himself and is involved in seminars and conferences and filming. Documentary production, recording, scientific recording and analysis of all these phenomenon. And this is not something when you've delved into it and studied it like a scientist does, like someone like yourself. You know, these things may sound very strange, but they're very real, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's countless things that fall into that category that, you know, seem very strange, but then when you really get into it, you begin to understand that there's usually a lot more to the situation than meets the eye. and the strangeness falls away because you begin to say, my God, there's no end to the complexity of this subject. And that's true of so many different things, Don, that we really shouldn't be surprised that it rears its head in the political area. As a matter of fact, since you brought up this whole deal of reptilians, I was very surprised this week. I went through a whole bunch of different documents that I found on the Internet revolving around this latest political scam, and I was very surprised to find out how many people are actually talking about things like the Galactic Federation, the fact that there's a battle going on for the possession of planet Earth, the fact that our government and most of the world governments have known about extraterrestrials, UFOs, and all sorts of other topics of that sort for, oh gosh, at least 60, 70 years, sometimes longer, and they've denied that information to the public. And so there's so many things going on right now, it's really quite amazing.
Yes.
Perhaps this entire political nonsense that's going on is going to inadvertently be the catalyst for exposing the very things that they don't want out in the open.
Yes. Well, it's time for us to take a break, Jim. So when we come back, let's go into that. I think that's a good point for us to move into, and we can still stay in the context of what's going on politically. Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and on WTPRN.com. We'll be right back with our special guest, Jim Murray. Don't go away.
Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Houston, we have a problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
Yes, PBS Radio. Yes, sir. Yes, PBS Radio. Yes, sir.
PBS Radio. We love PBS Radio.com.
And we're back with Evident Footprints here on BBSRadio.com. And our special guest, Jim Murray. Jim, that was one of my original compositions from my next CD called Spirals. Actually, that's a vortex in music. And maybe sometime we'll listen to the whole track. I thought you'd appreciate that since we get into vortexes and energy fields and all this stuff. We were interrupted by me, and I wanted to let you continue with what you were talking about before we went to our break.
Well, we were talking about a variety of different things, but actually we had come up onto the subject of the fact that the galaxy apparently is filled with all sorts of commotion these days, and it's amazing because if all that stuff is going on out there as it's purported to be, then it's just mind-boggling that Earth has the vaguest idea that there's so much activity going on in space around us. And that was the basic topic that I was discussing. However, I think my closing comment was something to the effect that wouldn't it be interesting if this political nonsense that they're trying to scam us with now winds up inadvertently being the stimulus that unravels this whole thing. Because I think that people, our people in the United States, they might be very resistant to weird ideas at first, but once they realize that there's some substance to it, they're going to change their attitude. Now, the interesting thing is the government themselves are the ones who are going to spill the beans that this is for real, a real scam is what I mean, just by what they do from here on in. Because this $800 billion is just the tip of the iceberg. The way that document is written, Don, as you well know, it opens the door to an endless number of financial assistances to be had for any purpose that they deem necessary. And the catastrophic results of using the wealth of the nation's populace to bail out all these companies which have been operating fraudulently and negligently and dishonestly all these years is just going to be a nightmare for the rest of us. You know, the proper attitude would have been to let them fail. If you and I start a business and we don't quite make it because of our ineptitude or because we're not suited for the marketplace or whatever, it's our tough luck. If we each put up 50 grand and the business fails, we have to look at each other and say, well, we gave it a good shot, but didn't work. Let's try something else. But, oh, if it happens to General Motors or one of the big banks or anybody like that, God forbid we can't allow them to go down. My question is, why not? How are they different from anybody else?
Those are the Illuminati-owned companies. That's the whole issue. That's what I bring out in my research. I brought more of that out in this Barack Obama piece, I think in the context of his so-called relatives, Madeline Lee Payne Dunham and Stanley Armour Dunham and Stanley Ann Dunham, his so-called mother, and their affiliations with these organizations secretly. You know, they tell us this feel-good story that they're from Kansas. And I'm repeating myself, but this is for the new listeners. Isn't it strange that Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz was from Kansas as well?
I was just thinking that.
And one can say, well, you know, well, they just happen to be from Kansas. No, this is a fiction, this whole story. Seriously, folks, if you haven't read my article, you must go in there and read it. And if it doesn't make sense the first time around, go in and read it a second time. It's there for free. It's published in the Idaho Observer. My references, my research was checked and double-checked and triple-checked. And my editors and publishers, Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle, and all the staff there just were amazed at how they themselves found themselves in the same abyss of unending corruption. It wasn't by accident. This is very intuitive work. It's very intuitive, but it's also very analytical, very logical. And I'm not political. I don't have a political agenda. I'm apolitical, and I'm outspoken about that. I have in the past, as many other people, voted on the Democratic ticket. I voted on the Republican ticket. I voted on the Independent ticket until I realized that the whole electoral process is corrupt. It's designed to produce a desired outcome, and we have nothing to do with the process other than being busybodies during the campaigns, blindly believing, which is what they want us to do. They don't want us to know. They want us to believe that the outcome is going to be a certain way and that we have actually some realistic, tangible, measurable impact on the outcome. We don't. And that's the fact. It's been that way since the beginning of this country's founding. And we can dig up enough dirt on any president or anybody that ever worked with an administration or in any government office. Any person of importance can be tied to the Masonic Order or Skull and Bones or some secret society. And the corruption is there. The history is there. And there are enough ways to debunk history, and I'm not the only one doing this research. My research happens to parallel that of Jim Mars or David Icke or Fritz Springmeier and Webster Tarpley, although Webster is very insider type of guy. He's a historian. I am not a historian, but I've gone and examined history from outside the box and found that it doesn't stand up to the way it's been portrayed. History has been fabricated. It's been created like a nursery rhyme, like the book that George W. Bush was reading upside down in that Florida schoolhouse while New York was being blown to smithereens on 9/11. Where is our disconnect? Where does denial begin when we can't see a picture of or video of our president reading a book upside down? Where is it that we can't figure out for ourselves that something is terribly wrong? So the point you're making, Jim, is well taken. This is the outcome of years and years of propaganda and brainwashing and mind control, dumbing down through the so-called educational process. I've heard ridiculous things, and you and I have talked about this, that there's a word going around that they don't want kids to be able to read letters or numbers, that they're being educated, and now language and math is being taken out of the equation. What the heck are they going to produce?
Well, they're going to produce sheep, just like they want.
Nah. I always respond to your comment that way. Nah, that can't happen. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Right. A lot of things can't happen because this is America, but guess what? It is happening. And that's the terrible part.
Well, you know, we've talked about this and we put out this dire message in a way. I mean, it's dire. We're not creating these problems, but in a sense, we're responsible for allowing this to happen. Ultimately, when one awakens to a certain level of consciousness, and maybe I'm speaking of the consciousness of a mushroom, a field mushroom, maybe just a wild mushroom. I don't know how conscious they are, but they seem to know that they're mushrooms, and they seem to be able to do what mushrooms do. Somehow people have lost the ability to do what they can do. They've lost their higher gifts. They've lost their higher powers. They've lost their ability to reason. They've lost their ability to get along with one another and to appreciate each other and to love each other and to nurture and help assist each other in accomplishing what is beneficial to the whole, to the group. We've become compartmentalized in a very mindless way, that we're egocentric and out, totally out of touch with the reality of who we are. And this plays right into the hands of these puppet masters and what they're doing, our would-be controllers. And they like to think that they're controlling us, but they're finding out, as you well pointed out, that something else is happening. People are awakening to that. So we're not just putting that message out. We're going to offer some solutions at the same time.
Well, one of the things that we should offer too, Don, not just a solution, but a pretty potent ray of hope, because once people start to realize that this entire movement is not designed for their benefit, but rather for the benefit of corporate America and the corporate U.S. included, I think they're going to want a way out. And the interesting thing is that there is actually a way out of this, which is inherently built into it. And I would like to just read you something interesting here. House Resolution 1424 is an amendment. Clearly, it is labeled as an amendment. However, constitutional procedure dictates that you can amend a bill that has been passed, but you cannot amend a bill which failed to pass. And so, actually, these people have declared themselves as traitors by what they have done. And as soon as the people really realize this, they should know that since this entire operation is repugnant to the Constitution, it's actually not valid. And we have the right to stomp on it and have it withdrawn because it's illegal. So when the gallons of milk start to cost $12 and $14, and when gasoline is so expensive that you have to take a bicycle to work, instead of just grunting and moaning about it and complaining about how our lot in life is so unfair, we should realize that we allowed this to happen and then undo it because we have that right.
Yes, I agree. We're going to come up on our hour break in about 2 minutes or a little bit less than 2 minutes here. So if I interrupt, it's not to be rude, but we've got to, acknowledge another hour in this show. Let me make a comment about that, if I can, in a brief moment or two. That's been my take on all this legislation, these signing statements and executive orders that really are done under the color of law, but have been created in violation of all the laws that are out there, antitrust laws and money laundering laws and even the laws about false evidence. It's no coincidence that the show is called Evident Footprints. When we look at the evidence of what's really going on and what the government is putting forth as the truth, we're looking at opposite ends of the spectrum. There's a difference of 180 degrees between what they say to us and what they're actually doing. And these laws that they like to call them, that they've created, are going to be repealed at some time. I'm going to predict that's what will happen as we clean house. Jim, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back in a moment here, and we'll pick up this conversation. Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on VBSRadio.com and WTPRN.com with our special guest, Jim Murray. We'll be right back. Welcome back to hour number two on October the 3rd or 4th, depending on your time zone. Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, wtprn.com, our new affiliate. And we're with our special guest every Friday night, our resident science advisor and inventor extraordinaire, Mr. Jim Murray. Woo, this has been somewhat of a very interesting topic tonight, and as I have told you off air, so as much as on air, Jim, this issue of showing who these people are is every bit as important as what they're doing. When you think about the fact that these people are doing something that a lot of people, especially in the Patriot community, are calling treasonous, a series of an endless parade of treasonous acts, you have to ask yourself, who would do this to their fellow human beings on this planet? What government would oppress their people this way? It's more than greed. It's more than power. It there's something much more profound here. And when Dawn called in the first hour, I didn't hesitate to just come out and say the truth, what I see as the truth. And we're dealing with people at various levels of consciousness. We've got the people that are just trying to understand why we would be lied to in our history class, why the outcome of a war was misrepresented. And it's done for the very purpose of what we're experiencing now. It's easy to explain it in that fashion to those that have been following history and doing the research and seeing what's going on. Not everyone understands what's going on in the banking community, and I myself have not really been a participant in the stock market and all these different vehicles for making money where they take your money and they make money, and you think you're getting rich or you're building a nest egg for yourself, and maybe in some ways you are. Yet there are probably ways that we could invest money on our own and see much greater results. We're always restricted by the greed and the rules that favor those that are calling the shots. And so as much as we think, well, you know, if you can invest, if you have the capital to invest and to speculate in the stock market and you put it in the right place, you'll make money. Well, they can always turn around and make the right place the wrong place just by pushing a button or the stroke of a pen or making a phone call. Somebody threatening someone else or someone bribing someone else or just changing a line entry in a book. And now it's become a computer screen, which is much faster, sometimes very difficult to trace, done very secretly. In fact, everything they do is done in secret. We have all the flags, the red flags, to indicate that something is not right, and yet people don't see it. People are in denial. And we talk about that all the time. And yet that problem doesn't go away, does it?
No, it doesn't go away. As a matter of fact, it compounds. It's getting worse. And you know what's interesting? It's going to get to the point where there will be no more denying what's going on. Because even if you happen to be a mental mushroom, sooner or later, some form of stimulus will get through to your minuscule brain, and you will say, you know what, I've been screwed. But the problem is that when that does happen, it may be too late to reverse the picture, because we already know that there are at least 25,000 foreign troops secretly stationed in the United States. They're just waiting for instructions to initiate a martial law. And the reason why they're foreign troops is because they won't hesitate to shoot Americans. That was something that was contributed by Bill Clinton's Bridge to America, which he executed while he was in office with an executive order. And you can see, if you really take the time to trace back and look at all this stuff, that it's a continuing plan. It isn't just that Bush is a madman or a cokehead. I'm sure he's both, but he's not the only one. Clinton was in on this, and the guy before Clinton was in on this, and the guy before him was in on this. It goes clear back to Woodrow Wilson, and probably before that. We've uncovered stuff where one of my childhood heroes turns out to be a cad. And I'm afraid to say it, but that's Abraham Lincoln was involved in shady stuff. And that's one of the reasons why he was shot was to prevent him from reversing the War Powers Act after the close of the Civil War. There's just one thing after another, and it's all leading towards a crescendo, which is to enslave and destroy America and rape it of all of its wealth. And you'd be surprised who's involved. Well, you wouldn't, Don, but I mean the average public would be.
Yes, and you have those folks out there that are, you know, this is not we're not calling our listening audience and the people out there that research and take these topics seriously. You know, there are people who are professional historians. They've made a career on their knowledge of history. And what do they have to go on? The books that are published, the stories that come out, maybe they're lucky to find some documents that are not out in the mainstream, and this is how these things get uncovered. There is documentation. There is documentation that refutes the official, and I put that in quotes, accounts. That's been the model of my research. And what did I use to decide how I was going to research these topics? Something didn't feel right. When you see what's going on today and you put that in the context of the history that we've been given, it's not the same thing. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't pan out in a logical, analytical process of going from point A to B to C to D until you run out of letters or double digits or whatever method you have to differentiate each step in the process of dissecting the history to look for places where there's no supporting evidence for a story or for the evidence they supposedly found. We find this in the Kennedy assassination. We find this in Mena, Arkansas. Isn't it interesting that the Clintons ran a drug ring out of the airport in Mena? And people were being murdered by the hundreds. Anybody who knew anything about those events were murdered. Yet it was, the governor or the attorney general or this outstanding attorney from the Rose Law Firm, these people that founded the Madison Guarantee, which was a big scandal and a scam, why didn't those people go to prison? Oh, they had a scapegoat that went to jail. But the guy ends up being the president of the United States. Well, there's a mission. There's a purpose for why these people are doing what they do and why they're allowed to get away with what they do. Then we had the Silverado savings scandal. That happened to be Neil Bush behind that. what was it, $150 billion? In fact, is that the $150 billion they tacked on to this this bill that just got passed today by the Senate? It's funny that that's the same amount. If I remember correctly, it was like it went belly up, $150 billion in the red. And did we hear about people going to prison for life for doing that? You steal $10,000 for robbing a bank, and it's a good chance you go to prison for life, depending on where that was done and who the judge was and who they had to protect to cover up what really happened. Usually these things are staged for the very reason of taking our freedom away from us, creating laws and, you know, getting the guns out of our hand. That's the only thing that's kept this country alive, is that we're still armed. And they're doing everything they can to oppress the normal expansion of consciousness and a raising in the vibration of society. It's amazing that people seem to have such short memories. There never was a murder investigation of President Kennedy's assassination, nor was there one of his son's assassination. That was an assassination. Pure and simple. It wasn't a plane crash. The plane did crash, but it was blown up first, and they had evidence of that. And there was a reason why he was taken out. And he had uncovered evidence and was going to publish the evidence of who was behind his father's murder. And he was going to run against Hillary Clinton or possibly even against George W. Bush for the presidency, and would have gotten in there and probably would have done the right thing. It probably would have been the first time we had anybody in office that wasn't bought out by the Illuminati, by the controllers, those that like to call themselves the Great White Brotherhood. And you see this name come up when you start looking at UFOs and ufology and a disclosure agreement. Now Jesus all of a sudden has the name Sananda, and there's going to be a 1,000-mile mothership coming in, and we're hearing it all. But attached to that is that name again, the Great White Brotherhood, just like the Great White Fleet that Teddy Roosevelt had in the early 1900s, around the time that John McCain's grandfather was snuck into the country and inserted into the Navy. Again, I researched that. When you connect the dots with actual documents, it belies the history that we've been given. And so we have a responsibility to find the truth. I'm presenting the truth as best I can, Jim, in the hope that people are going to wake up and say, you know, this is very plausible, that I, you know, if I'm going to do something to put a stop to this, if I'm going to help, if I'm going to play a role in humanity and bring some sanity to this world, then I've got to take some responsibility and help. Educate myself. You know, that's where it starts. I started by educating myself, and then I began sharing it with people. That's how I got my work published. That's how I got a radio show. It was the desire to get the message out there. And it's so important that I'm willing to risk my life to do that. And there are very few people that are willing to risk their life to do the ordinary mundane things that we do on a daily basis just to survive. And yet, I don't have the luxury of someone helping me survive in that capacity. That's a responsibility that I don't put on anyone else's shoulders either. And likewise, we have a responsibility to each other on this planet, unlike what's being done to us. Any comment?
Oh, sure. I got lots of comments. But you know what? Before I forget my train of thought, I do want to clarify one point that you brought up, because I think it's really, really important that people understand that. In common law, there's really only two types of crimes that you can commit. One is a breach of contract, and the other is a tort. And actually, those two things, a tort meaning some type of injury or physical harm done to another person, a breach can be actually any kind of a broken promise pertaining to a contract or an agreement. And if you stop and think about it, those two things cover everything that you could ever encounter in dealing with another human being. And that's how simple and direct it used to be. But when they invented the corporation called the United States, and I want to make it clear again in case people don't get it, because it is a little devious and designed to be so, we live in the United States of America. We think we elect a president to our country, but actually, even though it's a scam, like all the rest of it, the election procedure is to place an officer in the lead position of a corporation called the United States. And that has been initiated way back when, even before Lincoln, that whole thing was formed, and it was done to deceive the people. And with that came a whole new structure of laws, which are all based on corporate fictitious practices that have to do with imaginary entities. A corporation is a fake person, if you will, a fictitious person. And all these other laws, which are actually statutes and not true laws, pertain to activities between imaginary entities such as corporations. And a real law has to have two things to make it shine and to make it a real law by virtue of the original reckoning of the founding fathers and those who came after them. One is, first of all, it must be published in the Federal Register so that everybody can scrutinize it and say, yeah, do we want to adopt this or do we not? And secondly, it has to have supporting regulations, which are published in a series of books that anybody can access. And those regulations define the scope of the law and explain it in detail in relatively simple English so that anybody can understand it. These things are a far cry from the nightmare of the millions of statutory laws that are now on the books. And by the way, the books are called U.S. codes because of the fact that they are deliberately codified so that only somebody with a legal degree can interpret what they mean. And so actually we are living in a doubly stratified environment. Below is the original country that we live in that had common law as its basis. It had the worship of God and the pursuit of happiness as its main goals. And now on top of that is an entirely fictitious country that doesn't exist because it's basically a corporation, and all of the nonsense that these people have generated over the years to support their activities and keep us in the dark. And if you understand the difference between those two things, and those two things alone, an enormous amount of clarity will suddenly dawn upon you as to how things have been done and why things are the way they are. And don't forget, you can always find the truth by following the money trail, because in this society, that's the real God that's worshipped, is the money. Everything is done for the almighty greenback. So
yes,
with that little injection of thought, I'll turn the thing back to you momentarily, Don, and ask you, now, do you have any comments regarding what I just said?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, we have a caller, but before we take that call, I would add to what you said. I agree with what you're saying, and also I would say that the not only is the entity fictitious, but also what they have made us as citizens or as subjects of this corporation with capital letters they have made us that supporting role of the corporation. They've made us subjects to it through the use of your name as uppercase letters. Now, we're getting some echo here, Seth. I don't know if you're hearing that, but we're getting like a 20-second delay. I don't know if that's our caller coming on. Let's take this call, Jim, and see who this is. Would you state your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Billy Woodard again.
Billy, how are you this evening?
I'm getting a feedback from your program here.
Yes, Seth, are you hearing this? We have a 20-second delay that's just looping on top of the audio here. Okay, I think it cleared up a little bit. Okay, what's on your... You have a question or comment for our guest, Billy?
Okay. You mentioned earlier about the starship that's going to appear in our skies.
Do you have your audio on, Billy? If you can turn your audio on, I think that's the problem. Do you have your computer on or something? Turn your speakers
better?
Off. Billy, are you hearing what I'm saying? I think you're actually introducing this echo because we're hearing your audio on a delay.
Yeah.
Turn your speakers down, if you would, please.
Yeah, I just did. I turned them all the way down.
Okay, the echo disappeared. Okay.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, you have a question or comment?
Billy, if you can turn your audio on, I think that's the problem.
It doesn't sound like you turned your audio down. I'm still hearing the echo.
Yeah, I'm hearing it too. My speaker's completely off. How is that better?
Okay, that's better. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay.
You're actually introducing the echo because we're hearing your audio on the
display. Yes.
Turn your speakers down.
Billy, please, do you have a comment? If not, I have to end this call.
Okay.
This is radio.
Let me go ahead and call you back on the phone.
Okay, why don't you do that? Okay. Jim, I think you would probably agree with what I said in terms of identifying, you know, the subjects of this corporation. That's how they have set this up as, admiralty law or maritime law, as some refer to it. And we're talking about, fictional characters, really, that are no more real than this corporation.
Well, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, most people probably don't realize that when they get a bill or any kind of a traffic ticket or a summons or anything like that, which is addressed to them, that if they look at their name, it'll be in capital letters. And the reason for that is because they have turned you into a corporation. And as a matter of fact, another interesting thing, take a walk through any cemetery and you'll notice all the headstones, the names of the departed are all in caps. They are never in upper and lower case. They're always in caps. And that's for the same reason, because they're non-entities at this point. And they don't explain that to you, but essentially that's what they've done. They've turned you into a corporation. So actually when they summons you or when they send you a ticket or a bill, they're really addressing the corporation which exists in your name. Now there's a lot of strategies that allow you to circumvent this type of a presentation, but I caution you that you really have to understand what you're doing in order to take advantage of that. But basically, the real human being is not the person who is addressed, nor can he be, because the entire procedure is designed for interaction between fictitious entities only. So if you really want to look into that sometime, I'll be happy to prepare a disclosure, Don, and we can do a whole show on it, but I don't want to steal your thunder. You are bringing this up for a very definite reason, and I don't want to get off on a tangent.
Yes. Well, now we've got Billy back on a phone line. I think the problem was Billy had called in on Skype. Billy, don't do that again. That's nasty. No, just kidding. Just use the phone line. That was the whole problem. You were causing us to have a 20-second delay there, and there was no getting away from it. So,
I know.
Okay. Do you have a question or comment for Jim?
Yes. As I started to say before I really got a mess up there, concerning the ship that's to appear in our skies on the 14th.
Okay, Seth, excuse me one moment, Billy. Seth, can you give us a little more volume on Billy's call, please? Okay, go ahead, Billy.
Okay. I was going to say that concerning that ship, it's actually the Ashtar Command, and the Sananda is going to be on the ship as well. But it's the ship of light, and it's going to be. And another thing that they also gave me a telepathic message for is that you might want to. Everyone of your listeners might want to start carrying their cameras, because there's going to be other ships that are also going to be in our skies before the 14th. So they're going to want to have their cameras at all times.
Okay. Understand that I'm not belittling that message. I'm just, there are a lot of people coming out with that information. Yeah. It is on some sites. I know, Billy, for your information, Jim, and the listening audience, Billy has been a guest on my show and actually has brought some information forth that there's going to be a mass sighting on the 14th of October, which happens to be the next date that Billy's going to be a guest on the show. So that's going to be something to see. As I alluded to, sort of in a comedic fashion, somebody's going to have egg on their face if that doesn't happen. So
I can live with that. But anyway, the point I was going to say is that the message is for everyone to start carrying their cameras from the time they go to work in the morning to the time they get off, because the sightings are going to be in the daytime, and there's going to be other sightings besides the October 14th. But the big sighting is going to be on the 14th.
Okay. Now, do you have a question for Jim?
I only got the tail end of your show, so I caught the last hour, so I don't really know all he's been talking about. But you mentioned the starship that was going to be mothership that was going to be in the skies on the 14th, and I just wanted to add to that, and plus add the other information that I received as far as being ready. I always look toward the sky, and also all this. These conspiracies going on right now, all those are going to become, and they're going to be exposed. So that's the purpose of this visitation, and also the other ships showing up in our skies are going to give us the affirmation that we're not alone, and that we are being supported and loved by these beings, and they're here to support us, not hurt us. And they're also here to expose all the secretive Illuminati and all that other stuff. All that's going to be exposed in the very, very near future.
Well, if you can let them know on our behalf that that's exactly what we're doing, especially on this show tonight, I would appreciate it. And
oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure Jim would, too.
They've also been, they've been monitoring you as well. And they're very pleased with what you're doing. But it's going to take a big shakeup to awaken all the people of the world, and that's the purpose of this October 14th event, as well as the other ships that are going to be in our daylight skies between now and the 14th. So start watching the skies in the daytime, not just night.
Okay. Well, it sounds like they may be getting ready to propose their own bailout for the bailout.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, Billy,
I'm not worried about having egg on my face because there's so much confirmation going on as far as the October 14th. I'm not the only one that's going to have egg on their face if it does occur. But the other ships that are going to be showing up not just around here, but around worldwide, daytime sightings, southern hemisphere and all this. So we just need to start taking our cameras and looking at the skies during the daytime.
Okay. Billy, thanks for your call. We've got to take a break now.
Okay.
So call in again, and we'll see you on the 14th. Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and wtprn.com. We'll be right back with our special guest, Jim Murray. Don't go away.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat, and it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org today.
Tarzan Love, Tarzan Love, BBS Radio, Tarzan Love, BBS. Tarzan Love, Tarzan Love, BBS Radio, Tarzan Love, BBS. Tarzan Love, Tarzan Love, BBS Radio, Tarzan Love, Tarzan Love. Tarzan Love, BBS Radio,
Welcome back to our last segment of the evening with our special guest, Jim Murray. Jim, that was an interesting call. That's Billy Woodard, who has been into the inner earth and been to Area 51 and privy to a lot of things going on. I don't know if you've got to hear her interviews on the show. It's pretty interesting information. Now, we're going to find out how accurate some of these predictions are going to be. Various people are saying something's going to happen on the 14th. We may have disclosure after all.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting, and I must admit it would be quite welcome. But you know what? My gut feeling is whether the space people decide to show themselves or not, I think it's a mistake for us humans, or I should say for we humans, to rely on a savior from afar. This is really something that we have to settle ourselves. And I think that in order for us to really grow and deserve the freedom that we are trying to have, it's going to require some effort. Part of the reason why we're in this trouble in the first place is because of the fact that we kept on letting the government do everything for us. You know, I say, screw that. We have to take responsibility for our own lives. You know, before we were discussing about how these different accounts that they have, they control your money, they do all this stuff. A perfect example of that is Social Security. Oh, you know, let them take so much out of my paycheck each week. Let them nurture that money and build it for me so that when I reach 65 or 70 years old, I'll be able to relax for the rest of my life and enjoy a pension. That's a lot of hooey. You can see that they've mismanaged that entire affair. As a matter of fact, most of the people who are depending upon having a Social Security aren't going to get one. There's nothing in that account. It's broke. On the other hand, if we had taken responsibility for the matter onto our own shoulders, we could put in our own bank account, just by using a little willpower, the same amount of money that they withdraw from your check every week. And not only would you have a beautiful nest egg by the time you go to retire, but guess what? It would be in your name. You could do what you want with it without worrying about government intervention. And if you were mature and intelligent about it, you could make it grow and you can diversify it. You could do all sorts of things strictly on your own. So I'm just using that as an example. But my feeling is that that type of activity represents not just a course of action, but a certain plateau of psychic activity or conscious activity, if you will, that's required by us to extricate ourselves from this mess. I think it's a mistake to rely on outside forces. I don't care who they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have to do it ourselves.
I think, you know, the backlash of this bailout, and let, you know, we can sort of flow back into that for a moment, unless you're just so disgusted with it that you want to talk about something else. We could talk about mushrooms, wild mushrooms, I guess. The fact that this is being done to us against our wishes, against our interests, and the fact that people are waking up to what is being done. Now, you know how I feel about polls, and we're pretty much in agreement that the Tavistock Institute invented polls as a means of mass mind control. In other words, if you put this information out through the media on a regular basis, and they started polling this fiasco instantly, and they give you two choices that you would not make yourself to be questions to be answered in the poll. They don't ask you, is the government corrupt? They ask you, do you think this is going to help Wall Street or Main Street? And so regardless of what you would say in answering the poll, if it was a genuine poll, I mean, this is the BS that they put out there, as propaganda to make people think that they're actually polling people. They're not polling anyone. No one's lifted a finger to dial a number to ask anybody. And I challenge anyone that's been polled to call into the show. Now, people would say, well, no one's calling in, so they're either not listening to the show or they weren't polled. That's as valid, I guess, a measurement of the validity in that statement as their poll is. But I make that point just to say, you know, that the listening audience, if they were to call in and say, well, I was polled or I wasn't polled, you'd probably get predominantly calls of people saying, I was not polled and I know no one who was. Yet they always come up with these magical figures. 95% of the people are against this. I would say probably anyone that's awake and got up this morning, whether it was the right or the wrong side of the bed, has some opinion about this. No one wants money taken away from them. We're taxed to death in every aspect of our existence. Where is this money going to come from? They don't have the money. So what we're doing is we're giving them permission to hypothesize or to create out of thin air more money. That's really what's going on. If you analyze the fact that all the money is being made out of thin air, where is this money going to come from? I don't have it. You don't have it. Most of the people listening to the show don't have it. So where is it coming from? What this is, symbolically, or in code, as you well said, and through these signing statements, through these codes, these laws, whatever terminology you want to give them, we're giving them permission to continue the charade, the illusion. And they're going to create other illusions with this to continue developing a kind of wealth that really doesn't even exist, but it gives them power. It gets them doing things the way they choose to do it because, as you well pointed out, they're not operating as our servants. They're operating as agents for a foreign entity. And all of Washington, D.C., I've said this on past shows with you, the 68 square miles that makes up Washington, D.C. has been turned into a corporation, and all the people we think or we believe we have elected as our representatives of our best interests and our well-being and our future and our prosperity and our happiness are nothing but agents for the same corrupt foreign entity. That's all they are. Any comment about that?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, not only do I want to comment on it, but I want to share something with you. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to try and even verify this. Normally, as you know, I like to call you and say, Don, you have better connections than I do when it comes to verification of facts. Please look into this and tell me if it's something we can use on a show or not. But last night late, I got an email from a friend that told me something pretty extraordinary. Now, you already know that this bill was voted down by the House of Representatives on the first go-around. And then all of a sudden, they decided that they were going to sweeten it. So they sweetened it by adding a number of idiotic proposals to it, none of which really do anything. The most amazing one is that they have raised the ceiling of the FDIC protection from $100,000 per account up to $250,000 per account. But the irony of it is FDIC in its present state can't hardly back 10% or less of its constituency. And so what difference does it make how high they raise it? They could put it up to $1 million. It's nonsense. First of all, most people in America don't have a nest egg that big. And second of all, if the banks fail, they're only going to be able to pay off a tiny amount of it. So what difference does it make how big the ceiling is? It's just more eyewash. But here's the thing I wanted to mention. This email that I got was pretty astounding because what it touched upon was the fact that in order to sway the representatives who had voted against the bill in the first place, it was arranged by someone in government, and like I say, I haven't proven this, and I know you didn't get a chance to scrutinize it, but I might as well share it because it could be true, and it most probably has some degree of validity associated with it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been sent to me for my opinion. But one of the drug lords from Colombia, brought into this country a day or two before the illegal revamping of the bill was voted upon, a suitcase containing $17 million in cash. And that money was used as bribes to sway the senators the representatives over to the new vote. Now, I can't prove that. And I'm not trying to say it's true. But the thing that is interesting about it is, It's got the right flavor to be true. And it's real interesting that all of a sudden, with a little bit of eyewash added to an agreement which was already nonsense, the people who had the backbone to vote against it in the first place were swayed to vote for it in the second place. Anybody with half a brain wouldn't have even been affected by the additions to the thing. But a few million dollars can grease a lot of wheels. So all I'm saying here is we really need to stop thinking in terms of what we've been told is happening and start looking at what's really happening. Because, folks, it won't be long before they start dusting off the concentration camps and herding us all in there unless we're in 100% agreement with these guys. And that's really the truth. That's the way it is. We've talked about that in other shows, Don. Every single state has a concentration camp disguised as a military base and ready to go.
Well, I've got to do some quick math here. There's probably 15 concentration camps per state on average. There's at least 800 of them. Now, how many? Some states have more than others, and these are former Air Force bases that have been turned into Army bases. Some of these bases actually are reported to have these foreign contingents of soldiers that you talked about earlier, and they're telling us this claptrap. No, it's not the case. There have been FEMA patches posted on the internet. There was a guy a year ago that went to one such base in the Southwest and actually got a copy of a FEMA patch. He asked if he could have one, and of course they turned him down. But when the person went out of the room to ask if he could have it, he went over to the copy machine and made a copy of the patch. So, you know, you're looking at the militarization of an organization that's, we're led to believe is there to help us in emergencies, you know, in disasters and what have you. And they're, just like they create the false flag events, we've discussed weather manipulation, all the signs are there, the clues have been seen on the web, they've been seen on government websites. This is how we've gotten this information. A month before Katrina hit, the imprint was on the internet of the storm and the technology used to create it. We know from as many times as we talked about Tesla's technology that this was possible in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. This is not science fiction. The science fiction movies were put out to condition us to these things so that when they happened, we would never even imagine that these were actual events that were being orchestrated with technology and the misuse of advanced scientific principles. So we've been through that, and it all, when you start connecting the dots, it all makes sense. It makes a heck of a lot more sense than the hogwash they feed us through the propagandized media. I mean, there's nothing on television anymore that has any semblance of what reality is in the rest of the universe. It makes you wonder, and I don't say if, it makes you wonder what the visitors out in space are watching and thinking of us as creatures. That they've got to be looking at an animal like a squirrel with a brain the size of a peanut, and seeing the wisdom in that creature, and that it knows when it's time to build a nest and go into hibernation and bury some acorns or whatever they bury for their food supply to make it through a winter. There's a hell of a lot more intelligence being demonstrated by nature, and as even though we're destroying nature, at the same time we're destroying it, nature still has a way of overcoming what we do to it. The Earth itself has ways of counteracting what we do. I just cannot wait for the day when that really comes around full circle, and these people creating the money trail have to deal with the reality of everyday universal law and payback for all the crimes they've committed and all the people they've murdered and all the havoc and destruction they've wreaked over thousands of years. I cannot wait for that day. We won't have to lift a finger. We won't have to be looking for the Savior. Natural law will take over by itself.
Well, the only problem with that is, you know, natural law is absolutely ruthless. And you have to realize that we're all going to catch it in the neck if and when that happens. But that's okay, because that's nature's way, and therefore it has to be good. But the unfortunate thing is, if we had a little bit of a show of gumption, we could avoid such an extreme result. We had a whole two shows about that, Don, about the trigger mechanisms that cause the Earth to go into a destructive cycle. And it's very real. As a matter of fact, you know what's exciting to some extent? I heard on the news yesterday afternoon before I left Oklahoma, they were talking about the Al Gore thing and the whole warming cycle and this and that. And one guy said that he thought it was rather peculiar that that the ice at the North Pole is melting at record rates, and the ice pack at the South Pole is growing, not melting. It's actually growing. So the neat thing about it is that herein, and I had stated that on one of our shows together, the
yes.
neat thing about that is that that right there could be the beginning of the trigger mechanism to initiate one of these purge cycles that we talked about. Because if the ice pack of Antarctica grows, let's say, to the point where it's twice its size now, and the warming trend in the north continues to the point where the North Pole ice pack completely dissolves, you're going to have a planet which is on the verge of instability. And any kind of a system in physics which is just balanced precariously at a point of instability only requires a very small stimulus to initiate an enormous response. So if Bush, for instance, was to go through with one of his intentions and nuke Iran, how do we know that the shock waves from several large nuclear weapons wouldn't be just enough to cause the planet to begin to roll under the influence of the huge ice mass of Antarctica? And,
yeah, I was going to say, or going by Al Gore's model of global warming, if they came out with Internet 2, that increased heat could be enough. Right?
Well, sure, and we mustn't overlook the fact that there's an awful lot of hot air coming out of Washington altogether.
Yes. Oh, man. It's, you know, this is all going on simultaneously, and very few people pay attention to this. It very well could be that chemtrails could be the very precipitating factor in that. It could be the catalyst, so to speak, of causing that. Yeah, that's what my mind was visualizing when you were describing that before you actually said it. So it makes perfect sense.
Well, it makes sense for a lot of reasons, because Magellan's disease is actually a really, really strange phenomenon, and that lady who called in earlier wanted to hear more about that. These crystals which grow out of people's skin, they are actually inorganic, and yet they're alive because they can coexist and they can multiply and they can propagate within the human host. And the interesting thing is that they are a very strange agglutination of metallic substances along with various enzymes and whatnot that somehow allow them to live almost parasitically within the human body. But the fact that the chemtrails have also been analyzed to contain various alloys of metals is very interesting, because if you even go back to the ancient writings about the people from the 10th planet who supposedly came here and written about in Stitchin's book, the reason they were mining gold and silver from the earth in large quantities was because they wanted to bring it to their atmosphere and pulverize it and spread it around the planet at a very high altitude, which would cause the planet to behave like a huge thermos bottle. And if you remember the planet, I can't think of the name of the planet.
Nibiru.
Nibiru had an orbit that took it way out into deep space and then back here to our solar system only periodically. I think the periodicity was something like 3,000 or 3,500 years or something like that. And so it would have to go through deep, dark space for long periods of time without the benefit of solar radiation. So their idea of putting metal in the atmosphere was to retain the heat on the time periods that they were in this extended orbit. Now, it's very interesting that these chemtrails have metallic fragments in them, and a lot of evidence is surfacing now that it's only the northern hemisphere that's responding to this so-called global warming. There's nothing of the sort going on in the southern hemisphere. As a matter of fact, according to the latest information, like I just said, the ice pack at the South Pole is actually growing at a record rate. So it seems to me that your hypothesis has a lot of weight to it, that these chemtrails could, in fact, perhaps inadvertently, be causing the very set of circumstances necessary for the planet to shift 90 degrees on its axis. And if that happens, it won't make any difference what your social status is. It'll be mud when you're all over.
Yeah. Some of the other components. Now, I got to listen to and view a very, very well thought out, very well presented dissertation on chemtrails by Clifford Carnicom at the Conspiracy Conference, which was held a couple of months ago. I think it was in August. And there were many well-known scientists there and people in the Patriot Movement, people who are basically a cross-section of researchers in all the areas we've discussed tonight. Ralph Epperson, Sean David Morton, Dr. Bill Deagle, Jim Fetzer, and Clifford Carnicom, Eric John Phelps, and in attendance were many, many other researchers. Jim Mars was also there. And so you have the element of who these people are, these Illuminati families, the fascist, communist, Nazi connections and the interweaving of these secret societies. All these things were talked about. And the alien presence was talked about. Carnicom went into great detail of his independent analysis of the samples taken from the air. And we're talking about photographic studies where there were electromagnetic phenomenon occurring with these strands. You know, there are polymers, desiccated blood. There are pathogens, anthrax, tuberculosis. Things that we attribute to massive pandemic diseases are contained within these. And what has come out, Michael Anthony, who you know is on my show quite a bit, and has developed herbs that counteract the symptoms and actually attack the disease of Morgellons that even the CDC denies exists. He has identified through a nurse who contracted Morgellons in the state of Michigan these little white flies that are from South America and Africa. They're known to be there. They look very similar to ash flies, a little bit smaller. And they are spinning silk, which is attaching itself to the other biological components in the chemtrails. And when they're inhaled or taken into the skin, I'm of the understanding that all you have to do is touch this stuff and it can enter your pores. It's pretty interesting how this is traceable to all the elements that are in there. Now, Jim, we're absolutely out of time. I hate to cut the show off like this, but we certainly can pick this topic up again next week. And so I look forward to you coming back. We've got a break here now. We're over our time limit. So I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate it, and I look forward to being with you again.
Okay, folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints this evening on bbsradio.com and wtprn.com. We'll see you next week. Please join us. We've got a great lineup, as I mentioned earlier. In the meantime, I wish everyone peace, love, and light, and have a good night.